What do you think is the worst poem in your new book?
That's a good question.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the I Hate Matt Wall Poetry Podcast, where today we are going to have a conversation with Matthew Buckley Smith of Slee Ricketts fame, and also the author, the poet of the new book called Midlife. We're going to be talking all about book blurbs. It's the same typical shit we do with Bucks. He says, "And you're publishing too many poems." I say, "You should publish all your poems." We giggle about it, we laugh, but then at the end of the day, he still thinks that, you need to be really sparing with the poems you publish. And I'm like, just put them all out and burn the house down and the whole thing. Now, this conversation I had with him lasted a very long time, and we had a great time and we were cracking up. Basically, this episode is going to be about his book, okay, which you guys should all go get right now. Okay. There'll probably be another episode where we just talk about writing and literature and stuff like that. Okay. Because there was plenty of that stuff. I do think, though, for my members on my YouTube channel, I may post the the giant chunk of the conversation, which was Bucks telling me he Bucks was giving me therapy on how to get more out of going to therapy. And I was explaining to him how not to act when you are in therapy. I think at the end, we all learn something about each other and about ourselves. So, that will be appearing eventually in the members feed. I think what I'm going to be doing more for the podcast in that world, over on the members side, is a lot of like either outtakes or just things I don't want the general public knowing about. I seem to step in it a lot. So the mouth moves before the brain thinks, and horrible things happen. But anyway, this was an amazing chat. Bucks is also going to read one of his poems in here, the one I queued up at the beginning of the show. Yeah, it's a good talk. I don't want to like talk too much more. Oh, but I will say, March 23rd, I will be at the Bombay Beach Lit Fest on the zine panel. I will be doing a little bit of reading, and then I will have a table there hawking my stuff. So if you want to come out and see me or punch me in the fucking face and then run as fast as you fucking can, come on out to the Salton Sea if you're out in the desert area, Palm Springs area, on March 23rd for, again, the Bombay Beach Lit Fest. Come on out to that thing. All right, so without any further ado, on with the schlow.
Roman.
Somebody talk to you, like giving you criticism about a blurb someone left on your book?
No, so a blurb like on the back of the book.
Yeah. Somebody
Yeah,
gave
so
you shit about
no, he didn't give me shit. He was being
it?
very nice, but he said like, "Oh, I kind of disagree with what this guy said
Oh.
because I noticed that," and I was like, "I actually don't know what he said. I don't, I can't because, and it's not because I'm like a yogi or something. Like it's because I can't. If I read the blurbs on my book, I would lose my fucking mind. Like
Oh,
I
you should
can't.
totally read
No,
one
no,
right
no,
now
no,
for us.
no. Well, I've read one, and
Okay.
I've read exactly one, and it's the one that's on the website. And the reason I've read it is that it was originally in an email to me, and then I
Oh.
said, "Can I put this in the third person and make it a blurb?"
I see. I see.
But no, I can't. I don't read. I've never read a review of any of my work, any of my
No.
plays, any of my book. I've never read a blurb. I haven't read the preface to my first book. He could say anything in that. I don't know. He could have said anything in that preface. I don't know. He could have said,
Yeah.
"Matthew is a proud Nazi," and like, I mean, I don't know. I have no
Well,
idea what he
then
said.
let me, like, I don't know, 8 or 10 years from now, write a blurb for your next book.
If you promise you're not going to read it, let me do that.
I promise I won't read it. I can't promise Joanna won't read it. Your epitaph on your tombstone is either going to say,
I
he was just trying to be polite, or it'll say, Matt Wall, human black ice.
Shit, I should have asked you for a quote for my book, dude. Fuck. Yeah.
Anytime, anytime. Ugh. I'm always. I also believe in short blurbs. So
those both work.
If I have to do blurb, I think I've only been asked to do a blurb once. And I would not be sad if I never got asked again. But yeah. If I do, I want to bring back just, I don't know if I'm bringing it back. I want to innovate very, I want short blurbs need to be the norm. If we're going to have blurbs, let's just have like up to like 10 words max.
Yeah. You know? This dude asked me for a blurb for his new book and I didn't.
That would be a great blurb. This dude asked me for a blurb for his new book. Matt Wall, author of.
And so I didn't know what to say. So I basically wrote like, I don't know, like, 6 or 7 paragraphs, and I'm I'm sure there's a line or two in here. Just
you pick just put one the whole thing.
No, I don't know. I don't know what he did.
The whole
I
just, back of his book is going to be your blurb.
No,
he's going to use like 8 words with ellipses in between every word.
This book is fine.
Yes.
Oh shit.
That seems likely. What was my favorite blurb I ever saw?
Do you like it because of how ridiculously inappropriate it is for a blurb?
Yes, but it also I thought was very effective. Like it was both totally inappropriate and like really satisfying and like actually did create interest. Like it made me want to read the book. So the book is Notable American Women, which is the first novel by Ben Marcus, and the blurb on the back of the edition, it was like an early edition I got. I don't know if you would still find it if you bought a copy today. But the blurb on the back was, how can one word from Ben Marcus's rotten, filthy heart be trusted? And then it's attributed to Michael Marcus, Ben's father.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's the blurb. That's the dream blurb.
And did the book live up to the hype?
Oh, it's great. Great. Totally fucked up book. Totally okay. Fucked up. It is about his family, but it also clearly is like wildly made up, but just like a crazy, fascinating story and just like an amazing exercise in voice. And it is a very experimental novel, but unlike most experimental fiction, it's just like riveting page to page. Like he just is such a fucking weirdo, but every page is just fascinating.
Okay. What do you think is the worst poem in your new book?
That's a good question, because of course I tried to cut all of the bad poems out of it, and I cut a lot of poems. Like this is a very small percentage of the poems I wrote over this span of time.
The original manuscript had like how many pages was it, and then you started weeding stuff out?
That's not exactly how it worked, because I mean, most things just never made it into it. I can go to all I have a file of all the poems I wrote over the period out of which this book came.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of poems in there.
But did you do a thing where like, these are all the poems, and then these are the ones you picked, and then these are the ones that made it to the next cut, and then these ones made it into the final?
Yeah, I mean, but there are also, I was adding and subtracting throughout each of those.
Oh, shit.
Because it was over the course of, like, I probably put together the first early version of a manuscript 4 or 5 years before I published this, or before I, like, had a finished version of this.
Wow.
Because there was also some delay
before
it actually came out. I did a pretty thorough process on that, and then showed it to Ryan, and he said he thought it was very good, but it was too relentless. So I actually added in a lot of new poems after that, but that was also a process of like writing a lot of poems, choosing only a few of them, and then cutting and adding along the way.
So when he said it was too relentless, you did not ask a follow-up question?
No, I think it rang true. Like that wasn't the only thing he said. Like we had a conversation.
Oh, okay.
But that was kind of like, that was like a major observation about it. And it felt like, yeah, I think I kind of know what you're saying. Like that does feel like it lines up with some of my own experience.
So did you take out anything that you thought was good, but you took it out for the sake of the flow of the book?
Yeah, maybe with a couple things. I'm trying to think, like, were there things I thought were perfectly good poems that just didn't? There's one I took out that I think is probably a pretty good poem that just, it, it didn't quite make sense in the context of the book.
Okay.
But for the most part, I don't really believe in unified books.
Yeah.
So I don't do that much. But yeah, I think there's at least one that I'm trying to, I'm just scrolling through. Yeah, I think there's like probably most of these I thought they were just like the poems that got left out were just the poems that were not good enough. And then some I thought were like good or promising, but like I couldn't quite finish them, or I just felt like I wasn't sure. There were some others I just got so tired of after a while that I just let them go. Yeah, I think there's probably one that is like pretty as good a poem as any of the as many of the poems that I included, but it was in some ways it was like too similar to some stuff that was already in the book.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure. And I thought like if it was a matter of that one or a different poem, then I would pick the other one.
So how did
But
the theme
yeah.
of the book come together? Because if you're
How
not into books, collected poetry works, like, how did you do that?
I don't I'm not into themes. So I don't really think there is a theme. I mean, I think to the extent to which there's a theme, it's the theme of this is what I was writing about over these 9 or 10 years.
Yeah.
But I don't really think there's, properly speaking, a theme.
So the title is just a description of the time in which you wrote this book.
Yeah, I just picked it because I thought it would be close enough to sounding like it was kind of a theme that it was like, it would be like, yeah, all right, that's kind of what's going on here. Like, literally, the title of my first book was the title of a poem, and I liked the title, and I liked the poem okay, but then I cut it. Because it was too long, and I kept cutting more and more and more until I cut the entire poem, and the only thing that was left was the title.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I still like the title, but I
Yeah.
don't have a poem for it anymore, so I'll just make it the title of the book. And
Yeah.
this was like, I went through a couple possibilities for the title. I actually had a different title, and Jonathan hated it so much that I thought, like, oh, well, if he likes the poem it comes from, and he likes the book, but he hates the title that much, it gave me pause. And
Do
then
you
this
feel
one seemed
comfortable
easy.
sharing the
Yeah,
alternate?
yeah, yeah, yeah. It was the title, the original title was the title of the very last poem of the book, which is An Organ of Extreme Perfection, which is it's a line that comes from Darwin. But
Yeah.
he thought that sounded too much like I was boasting about the book itself. I was like, oh, well,
I
I
thought you were
wouldn't.
talking about your penis.
Yeah. Yeah,
Seriously, that was like
exactly.
the first thought that came to my mind.
Okay. A member of extreme perfection. A unit of extreme perfection. Yeah,
Yeah.
no, it's not what I was intending. But yeah, so for a variety of reasons, that was not the title anymore. But
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
so I mean, but yeah, midlife might like it could be the title or something else could be the title. It truly, I think it truly doesn't matter. Like I tried to make this as good. I wanted this to be like as pleasing an object, as pleasing an experience as possible. I cared about making the epigraph be like enjoyable and gratifying. I wanted it to be a fun book to read. I wanted it to feel pretty and like satisfying. But like I don't think that as a book it matters. I think like if any of these poems matter, they will survive outside the context of the book. Like they will get anthologized somewhere. Somebody will like share one with a friend. They'll get circulated one way or another. Like this
So
is not a permanent,
if
yeah,
someone
unit.
says, I like this book better than your last book, are you like, well, that's fucking, that doesn't matter.
No, I think that seems like what that means to me is your poems have gotten better. Like that's what that means to me.
Because your collections are just time periods.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in this case, they're pretty distinct. I'm a slow writer. Like I really don't plan to put out another book for a number. Like it's gonna be roughly. It probably won't be 10 years after this one came out. It will be like, it'll probably come out around the time this one was finished.
Yeah.
Because this one ended up taking even longer.
Okay.
Yeah, like my guess is it'll be for the period of my life that I was publishing, by the time I'm dead, my goal and my expectation is I will probably average about a book every 10 years. And that's pretty good. Like that's a lot of the poets I admire did about that. And
Yeah,
that seems
and
to me,
if you like
yeah.
that, then yeah, kill it,
Because I
dude.
also like the collected, I don't want a collected that's a fucking doorstop. Like, I don't want a collected where you're going through and thinking, like, yeah, I mean, he's like, it was what I felt reading through. I just read all of Berryman's poetry recently, and he's great. Like, I love Berryman, But so much of it, like for hundreds of pages, I would think, like, boy, he's so talented, but like, why this? Like, why is this in here? It's
Okay,
just, he's just dicking around.
so would you lose your shit if after you're dead and your kids are grown, your kids are like, oh, let's take all of dad's poems and put them out in one big book? Like, would that just like
Which poems? When you say all his poems, what do you mean?
all of your poems?
Oh, like the unpublished stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's t that'd be terrible. It'd be
Like, are you going
terrible.
to put that in your will? Like, make sure, like, you never publish shit that never got published during my lifetime.
I mean, the I
Because
think
you
the
know
I
this is
think
going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen because I think like in order for that to happen, there actually has to be a demand, and I don't think there's going to be a demand. But
Well, not with that attitude.
I don't know, man. But I think, you know, I mean the thing I plan to do is you know, name an executor.
Yeah.
And then basically like the thought is you by the time you have an executor, you shouldn't have to be giving instructions explicitly. Like you should have enough of an understanding with each other of what you actually want.
Oh, that's a lot of assumptions. You need to write this down,
Yeah, I
dude.
mean I'll yeah, like I'll make some things explicit, but like but you what you also want honestly is not for is not to say you don't want to do you know the Kafka thing right with Max Brod was that his name I can't remember
I
I think
know
it
what
was
you're talking
Max
about. Yeah.
yeah where like he Kafka gave half his work to this guy Max Brod and he gave half his work to his girlfriend and he told both of them to burn everything and she was like okay I'm burning it. Max Brod was like, no, don't actually burn it. So half of it got burned.
Ugh.
And Max, you know, let's say like Virgil left instructions to have the Aeneid burned. And Nabokov was in the process of burning Lolita when his wife intervened. So I think like don't trust your own shitty judgment. You say to your friend and smart, loyal executor who also has good taste, you say, let's be real sparing about this. But like if you go through some of the unpublished stuff and you find a gem here or there, like that's
Yeah.
great. Like because
Okay.
they're also like they're poems in the, you know, that there are uncollected poems. Like two of my favorite poems by Larkin are uncollected. They're not in
Yeah.
any of his books. And so like you want somebody to and in fact actually three, because there's another one that Alice showed me recently that I thought was like, oh, that's great. Have you heard her most recent episode?
Nuh-uh.
It's, he has a poem about jerking off. It's really good. It's like a really good jerking off poem.
Okay.
She reads it on the episode. It's very good. But like, yeah, so like there, you know, there, that's a wonderful thing is when you find like, oh, that's kind of like a lovely little, you know, like little kind of funny, quirky thing that would have gotten lost. And like, you're glad to have that be saved. But like, God, no, you would never want to just like publish all of it. That's terrible.
But there's tons of people who've had all of their stuff published after they're dead.
Yeah, that sure there are. And it's
And do you
almost
think
always a terrible idea. It's almost always a terrible idea. It is, I mean, when, like, so seldom is that actually a good idea.
you think of any time when it was a good idea?
I mean, the only reason it would be a good idea is that the person who was doing the editing of all of the works didn't have good enough taste to pull the good ones, right? Like, you pull the good, the poems you're like, oh, this one never got published. Like, this is actually quite good. Or like, maybe it's not a perfect poem, or maybe it's not a fit, but like, it has enough of like a nice thing in it that like people would want to read this. This is like, let's save this. But
So
you be choosy about that shit.
you don't think there is something inherently good about showing everyone that even the greats fumbled?
I mean, but isn't that obvious? Like, don't we all already know that?
No, I don't think people do. I
That's
think
fucking stupid.
because I
Like,
think a lot of people idolize people and think that they're perfect.
I mean, I don't know, man. Like so few people are even choose. Even the choosy people are so seldom choosy enough. Like, out of Larkin's whole, Larkin only published four books. Out of his whole first book, I would say there's one poem worth saving. Like, his whole first book was basically a wash. It was basically like he was figuring his shit out. And then by his second book, he like, oh, actually, now I know how to write a poem. So no, like so seldom or even like Elizabeth Bishop, incredibly choosy, like very spare. She, her collected works is like, It's, I have it over there. Her collected works is like that. It's very slender. Tons of boring shit in there. Like tons of shit she could have cut. So I just think, like, even if you only read the collected works of the choosy poets, there's still plenty of evidence that, like, even great poets write a lot of bad stuff. Like, even if you just read Shakespeare's sonnets, there's some terrible sonnets in there. So yeah, like, I don't think that's hidden knowledge. I think that's pretty obvious for anybody who's looking. I don't, yeah, like, no, there's no, I don't think there's really any value in just like pouring out the slush, you know, the internal slush pile of some dead poet. Like,
Well,
that's no,
don't
I don't
ever
know.
make me your executor because
Yeah,
I
no,
put
yeah, that I know.
everything you've ever written
Oh my
out,
God.
and then I'll even just go through your computer and just start like sending emails and like putting those out, you know.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a like I have, you know, I've had some health problems. I haven't yet gotten to the point where I've had to like think about actually getting my shit in order. But I definitely have had thoughts about like what kind of self-destruct like instructions do I need to send to like Gmail? Like what? Like I want to make sure like my wife can get all my passwords, but like let's make sure that some of this stuff is just destroyed. Like definitely my correspondence. Like nobody needs to read my correspondence.
So there's not going to be like a big book of letters.
Good God, what a nightmare. What is that? Yeah, nobody needs any of that. No.
Okay. All right. So the worst poem in your book. What is
Yeah,
your
oh yeah.
favorite poem?
Let me see if I can. Yeah, like I'll say like all of these are poems I have enough reason to like to include in a book that does not have very many poems in it. I have three candidates for probably the worst poem in the book. So one is called Voyeurs, one is called Ars Poetica, and one is called Drunk Lullaby. I can suspect I know which one you'll want to hear,
Okay.
which is the third of the ones I just read.
Okay.
And this is definitely one nobody ever wanted to publish. So one of the he actually published most of the poems in this book, but this one nobody published. Drunk Lullaby. Quiet now, let's have a drink. Night withdraws beyond the door. No one needs another rhyme. Cups and dishes brim the sink. Nothing matters anymore. When the coin is cast again, all the past will roll away, humming on its reeded rim. We will say of beauty then everything there is to say. Lift a parting glass and go where good drinkers come to rest. Dream of whiskey, dream of rum. We know all we need to know. Silence now is for the best.
Why do you think that no one wanted to publish that?
I think it's mostly. It's a, in some ways, it's a very old-fashioned kind of poem. Like it's a short, pretty, very metrical, very rhymey poem with what's the it has the funny metrical pattern of the lullaby, the Auden poem, Lay Your Sleeping Head, My Love, Human on My Sleepless Arm, which lends itself, especially with such a an overwhelming rhyme scheme to like can lend itself to kind of a sense of chiminess, or like a sing-songy chiminess. But there's some other poem I read that just the other day that had the same metrical scheme, but I can't remember what it was. And it's also a totally nihilistic poem, and it's a poem about drinking too much. And I think like 78% of publishing poets are alcoholics and they don't want to think about that. So I think that's probably part of it, is it's like it doesn't get in, like it doesn't do any of the things people say they want poems to do. I just tr wanted it to be pretty, and I wanted it to like accurately convey a feeling that I had often. So that's all it really is. But yeah, I think that's probably why people don't like it. I've always been kind of fond of it, but
And so you finished writing this in like what, 2019?
this book,
Yeah.
yeah, 2019, 2020, 2019, 2020, maybe. Sent it out, did a little more work on it, did some revision, got it accepted for publication in 2021. And then it just now came out.
Yeah.
Because it had some, hit some bumps in the road along the way.
Yep.
And but yeah, my brother designed the jacket. I was very happy with that. And
that's gorgeous.
Yeah, thank you. He's a really good artist. Rob and Paul at Measure were great with like letting us have a lot of freedom with the design, and you know, they even let me, I found a different font I wanted them to use because I like a slightly different font than the one that you normally have, and they were very good sports about
for the interior.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the font they used, it's actually a very respectable good font. I didn't love it for this text, but I found a free one. Yeah. It was for free. It's actually it's a good resource for you since you're also a publisher. The what is it called? It's like a goof on the old comic book, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, League of Movable Type. So I would look this up because it's very cool. Yeah, the original, the open source font foundry. So they just designed a bunch of fonts. They were like, the internet is ugly. We want it to be less ugly. So they got these like professional designers. They designed a bunch of fonts and they just gave them all away for free.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you can just go to the League of Movable Type and they just have free fonts to use. And they're like some really nice ones.
Cool.
So yeah, I found one there I liked. And then I was really particular. Like, I don't mind being like a bridezilla about getting the text in my book correct.
Yeah.
I was very particular about that. And Rob was really sweet and worked with me on it. Alex too, like for my first book, he also, I like made him reset the entire text a couple of times because I wanted some, but like, yeah, he was like very, very good sport. And like, my thought is, I will go ahead and be an asshole about getting the text right in my book.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's
the
thing.
How are you about like margins and placement and formatting?
I'm pretty particular, but I also am fairly conventional. Like, I don't do a lot of like crazy text all over the page floating around stuff.
Yeah.
So I do have some lines that break off and get continued midline. And those I was very particular about, like, no, no, no. They need to continue in a way that actually makes sense visually.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I feel like that's an area where, like, you know, like basically like pick your areas in life where you're going to be excessively demanding.
Yeah.
And then just go easy on all the other ones. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I'm very easygoing about most things. This is something I'm very not easygoing about. So, you know, I feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did a lovely job with it. I'm very, very pleased with that. And yeah, like, I think it's a good book, as I said on my podcast. I made a good book. For me, like, by the time I publish a book of poems, I'm pretty sick of all of them. I'm pretty much like ready to be, you know.
So have you already started putting together the next book?
No. I mean, I have lots of poems since this book. I mean, lots for me, which is...
Well, like, and like, are any of them like ones where you're like, oh, this is going to go in my next book whenever I do that?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I definitely think I have some that'll go in the next book. Good. I think you have published at least one or two of them, I think.
Sweet.
But it's like, it'll, you know, like, I'm not in a rush. Nobody's in a rush.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very rare experience that, like, I actually did start to get emails from people saying, like, so when's your book coming out? Because I feel like that is a question people almost never ask about books of poetry. Very seldom are people, like, champing at the bit to get a new book of poetry. Mostly it's like they come out and you're like, oh, right, there's another 10 more of those I got to buy. There'll be another one eventually. And probably, I feel like
soon
and soon comparatively. Yeah. Let's see. Like, I would expect the next one to come out in maybe 2030. That's pretty soon.
Yeah
like, that's not so far away. My guess is I'll probably start sending it. I'll probably start putting it together in 2018-19, add and subtract for a while, maybe try to get it signed on somewhere by 30-31 and put out, you know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm in no rush. And I just don't think books matter, really. Like, books
now,
I don't think books of poetry matter. That's all.
Okay, so are you still actively submitting new work to places?
I am. I don't do it a ton. I tend to do it kind of in cycles, and I just did a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I just submitted a bunch, including I had some people solicit poems and then just go totally silent on me, which is never a great sign. Because you know when somebody solicits poems, and then you send them, and then like they want to accept them, right? Like you solicit wanting to accept. And so then if it's like silence for a good while after that, that's like they're trying to come up with either something they can stomach accepting, or like they're trying to put off sending, like composing a note to say like, maybe not these. I did get I also got I had somebody solicit work for me and then form reject, which
Whoa.
feels like don't I mean rejections, everybody gets rejections, I get rejections all the time. Like rejections are rejections, it's cool, man. And like it's totally fair to reject something you've solicited because like you gotta believe in it. You gotta believe in it if you're gonna publish it. But like don't form reject it. If you like just if you solicit it, you at least owe a personal rejection. So that sucked. He form rejected me and then he just solicited something else. And I was like, all right, okay.
So, do you like it better when they don't send a form, but just say, like, yeah, this isn't what we're looking for right now? Or do you like it when they actually tell you why they don't like it?
No. I don't believe in reasons, because I think usually that's actually bad. I think we know better what we like and don't like than we do why. And so I think if you don't like it, that's cool. Just say no. But like do like if you know me personally, this is the thing, is like it's a guy I know personally, and he personally solicited it, and he then formally
Fuck,
that's
dude.
like a little, it's like come on, just like bro, I know, like okay.
You're like, Shane, come on. Like, why are you doing this to me?
Like come on, Brian. Like, yeah, so like that's yeah, like that's a little funny. But no, I don't think like I think it's generally worse when you try to give reasons or explanations. I like the worst was like I submitted a piece of fiction to a magazine where I know the guy who does poetry for them. And I deliberately sent them fiction because I was like, well, I know the guy who does poetry in a way that like it feels a little awkward. And so I don't want I want to avoid sending to him. So I'll
Yeah,
just send them fiction so somebody else reads it. No, of course he read it and then he felt obliged to send me a page long explanation both of why he was not going to publish it and why he thought it was so good. Such a wonderful story. I was like, fuck, don't damn it.
that is a
Don't
lot
do
of
that.
work to put into that.
Right. And it's also like, what are you talking about? Like if it was this good, you would publish it. Like even if you had to make some changes, like don't tell me it's really, really good and you can't wait to see it in Best American Fiction, but not from your magazine. Like, don't tell me that. That's ugh. So no, I don't believe in reasons. I don't believe in reasons or poetry books, apparently. But yeah, don't do a form rejection if you know somebody. But yeah, I send stuff out, but I don't, I mean, I go years without publishing things. Like
So
just because I
is
am.
it more of a cycle for you, or is it more of like a schedule when you decide it's ready to start sending, like you're ready to start sending stuff out?
Oh, it's mostly just because it's such a pain in the ass and I'm so bad at it. I'm so bad at any of the things that are you're supposed to do to have a life that functions. And so I just put it off for a while and then I just try to do it a bunch at once. But that's really all it is. I'm generally write slowly and steadily. There's a book, buy the book, Midlife.
And I'm telling you right now, the cover of the book is beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I
Whether
did.
or no,
Yeah.
I was talking to the listeners. Hang
Oh,
on.
yeah.
Hang on. Let me explain something to the listeners.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Even though you can't see the cover of the book, it's gorgeous. There you go. Okay. Talking to you.
I feel like I can confidently agree with that it, because I'm very I have a it's a series my brother did and I have another version of the same image on my wall here that
Oh
so I don't
shit. Nice.
yeah that was what I originally was thinking of that and then this I think works better on the cover but that's the
Oh, cool.
yeah those are actually most of those are his yeah there's the other version
Yeah.
it's his wife the woman who's the model for it. But it doesn't look like a, it looks pretty abstracted.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I think it
Anyway.
is a good book of poems and it is short and there are no prose poems. So, there you go.
Well, shit, you're knocking it out of the park.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I open a book of poems and I see a bunch of prose poems, I just started reading a new book of poems today.
It makes you want to not open the
They're like,
book.
oh man, all this block of text stuff. I thought I was going to breeze right through this thing, and here I am hitting a wall.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is not very many words. It is a short book with a pretty cover and not so many words that,
You're paying for the white space.
you're paying not to
Yeah.
read words. That's really what you're doing when you buy a book of poems.
That's amazing.
Okay, everybody, that was the first installment of my talk with Matthew Buckley Smith and his book Midlife that you can get at the link below. That one clip right there was 1 hour and 2 minutes, and I edited it down almost to nothing. I'm shocked. So this episode is a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be, but that probably means that the next episode is going to be way longer than I could have expected. So, whatever. Like, it's some good shit. It's some good shit. Do not forget, March 23rd, I'm going to be at the Bombay Beach Lit Festival doing the zine panel, and I'm going to talk some chapbook stuff in there too. Read some shit, sell some shit. Come on out and see me. But what we're gonna do right now is get over to those motherfucking Okay? So, all right. I want to give a big thank you to those motherfuckers over there on Patreon. I want to give a thank you to Michael M, Cedar, Harry, and Michael S. And then let me open up this because this has completely changed in the last week. So let's get into that. So, I want to give a thank you to everyone in the thank you crew: Patrick, Britt, Jan, Ethan, Cedar, Joseph, Nathan, Deborah, and Lauren. Thank you guys so much. And then for the big swinging dicks over there in the fucking Anarchy crew, I want to give a big thank you to him. And welcome back, Chasey. And then we got Michael, JH, Adam, Tamra, Shaylin, Mindy, and Nate. And then for the biggest of the big swinging cockalockles, I want to give a big thank you to Caitlin, the number one chappie over there in the chapbook of the month club. Then I also want to let you know that there are also two new tiers in the memberships over here. So once you get past Chapbook of the Month Club, there's also the mentorship tier. So a lot of you know I have been doing mentorship sessions with a lot of you, okay? And normally how we would book those is you would just send me an email, we'd schedule a time, and I send you an invoice. Now you're gonna do it through YouTube, and since a lot of you who were doing the mentorship with me were doing it on a monthly basis anyway, now it's just gonna be a monthly thing. And not only do you get to have those sessions with me every month, you also get access to all the other shit. So you're gonna get one of my chapbooks every month. You're gonna get access to the Poetic Anarchy course. You're gonna get the members only live streams, including this Friday, we're doing the Anarchy Crew writing Zoom workshop. So that's gonna be fucking awesome. Plus, you get the loyalty badges and emojis and extra videos like the one with me and Bucks here, where he's going to tell me how to go to fucking therapy. So that's the mentorship tier. And then I don't know what I'm going to fucking call this. I guess I can't really change it now that I already made it. But the writing business builder. It's a horrible fucking name. So maybe I'll just call it the biz builder. That's even stupider. Whatever it is, it's a weekly fucking thing. So it's just like the mentorship, but it's like super fucking hands-on. full of like hardcore critiques on not only your work, but your work ethic and also your marketing business and all that shit. And so that, all that shit, again, you get everything that all the other tiers get, but this is like weekly shit. Now, a lot of you aren't going to need weekly shit, but if you have like a book launch coming up, or if you have some big event that's a few months away or something like that, and you really want to fucking nail that shit, that's when you would come into this. And then at any time, if you want to drop back down to mentorship, you can. Or if you're just somebody who needs the fucking weekly kick in the ass, then go ahead and fucking join that. So again, all of these tiers you can see and are available if you click the join button under my YouTube page, under the videos, or when you go to my YouTube page at Matt Wall, there'll be the little join button. So that is probably the biggest update. And as far as other videos that I've been doing, I just wanted to kind of catch you up on this shit because I'm back to pretty much daily uploads over on my YouTube channel. And one of the things that I've been doing lately that seems to be going really, really well is the, instead of responding to comments here on the podcast, I'm responding to comments just in their own videos. And I've done two of those in the last couple weeks, and they're pretty cool. Although I think people got a little frisky because they knew I was going to be reading the comments and stuff. So I got some people talking shit, and so I had to talk shit back. So if you're into that, definitely check those out. But other videos that I have done lately, are you too old to become a writer? When your writing scares you, and that's a video about why I never finished my horror trilogy, Bloodlust Romance. Let me see, how to know if you're good enough to be a writer. And then I even did a video reviewing Virginia Woolf's Orlando because a beautiful fucking woman told me to read it. And then I even talked about my 30 years with the Muse. That's like kind of a whole fucking deal. And then that was that. And then I've also been doing this series called Fix Writer Self-Sabotage. And there's five or six videos of that up now, and I'm going to be doing another one of those probably today, and that'll go up sometime this week, probably Thursday. And I think what I'm going to do is once all those are done and out, I'm going to take all those videos and cut out the good parts, like just like little snippets, and make a podcast episode, since I know a lot of you who are listening to this podcast, listen to it on like iTunes and Spotify and other things like that. So I'll give you a little taste of what's going on the YouTube channel with that. And then as far as oh yeah, and then I got into some shit and I did a video called Things I Hate About the Online Book Community. That caused a couple ruffles and some feathers. But I'm also still doing the Bukowski Book Club, and I'm going to put up the last part of War All the Time here this week as well before we move into You Get So Alone at Times, It Just Makes Sense. Those are on the table there, but I also do vlogs. So I have a vlog up here, like some of the last couple vlogs I've done. Is Rain in LA, the downtown LA skyline, Tent City, Bacon Bloody Marys, taco trucks, interviewing Uber drivers, being hit up for cash by homeless people. Let's see what else we got here. A sunny day in LA. Finally, I went up on the roof and gave you a tour of like what all the different parts of LA are. I did a couple unboxings and mail haul kind of things with some chapbooks and with some gifts. And then I did some food shit. I ate Dave's hot chicken. I showed you my favorite. I'll just show you again. My favorite dried mangoes from Southern Grove that you can only get at Aldi's. Super fucking delicious. And did some spicy pork jerky. So these are all of the ridiculous things that you can see when you subscribe to my YouTube channel and all that other shit. In case you are just a listener on the things that make noises. It's actually kind of exhausting reading all that shit that I've done in the last couple weeks up on YouTube right now. It's fucking ridiculous. So anyway, yeah, and I think I'll talk about that in the next one. No need to fucking screw that pooch right now. So anyway, go over to YouTube if you haven't already subscribed to @MattWall. Click the join button, join the Anarchy Crew, join the Chapbook of the Month Club, join the mentorship thing, join the awful titled writer business builders. Okay, they're all fucking good shit. And again, the Thank You Crew is also greatly appreciated. Okay, so there's all that. Keep buying my books, go over to Amazon and start picking up my shit up on there. And hopefully by this time next week, my fucking online store, my new shop, my beautiful, beautiful store will finally be up. And you got to start acting quick on these chapbooks because I have a feeling I'm going to be getting rid of a lot of these very soon with all of my appearances I'm going to be doing. Okay? They always go faster when I could shove them in people's hands. Okay? That's what she said. No. Okay, guys. So do all those things that I just said to do because it's the right thing to do and you're awesome. And tell someone that you kind of like a little bit about this podcast because they will love it. They will. Okay? Typewriter, everybody. And I will talk to you all later.
Just want to give a quick thanks to those people who make these videos possible. Anarchy Crew and my followers on Patreon. I appreciate the hell out of you guys. Thank you so much for keeping me going to keep this content possible. You guys are awesome. And if you'd like to join the crew or the Anarchy Crew, just hit the join button beneath this video. And if you'd like to become a member of my Patreon, you can run over to the link down below to do that as well. Thank you.